Perry Edwards, Michelle Putz, and Leah Mason are sheltering on my front porch from a light summer rain. They're just back from a long June weekend on Kruzoff Island, Sitka's wild and remote next-door neighbor to the west. Kruzoff is famous for its black sand beaches, open to the Pacific swells and surf. The three were staying at the North Beach cabin. Edwards woke up early to go beachcombing.
It was a super low tide. I mean, there was this beach that went on forever. And I looked over at that rock wall in the south end, and I saw something blow. And I thought, maybe that's just a splashing of a wave. There's not enough water for anything to be there. And then I looked again, and then I saw a pectoral fin flip over. And I ran back to the cabin and said, hey, Michelle and Leah, there's a whale that's stranded, and there's no way it can get out.
A whale this close to a beach, not to mention stuck on it, is not uncommon. Not for gray whales, anyway. They're benthic feeders who dredge the ocean bottom for food.
It's not unusual to see gray whales in the area foraging or swimming near shore.
Mandy Keough is the Alaska Stranding Coordinator for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
So they will actually go down and kind of disturb the sedimentation and use that to get amphipods and other organisms like that. So it's not uncommon to see them near shore in shallow waters.
Keough says this whale was not stranded by definition, but alive, on shore, and unable to return to the water. But try telling that to the whale, or in this case, whales, because there were two, a mother and calf.
These whales were in such a small space that it looked like eels in a bucket.
This is Leah Mason.
You know, you could see them roiling in there.
And Michelle Putz.
Yeah, you would definitely, you could see their backs and most of their bodies sticking above water for much of the time. There's a female, we think, and a calf, the calf being three quarters the size of the female. And the female was trying constantly to get out, find different ways to get out. And so she would be pushing her way out, swimming around, and at times she'd get stuck on one of the sandbars and kind of have to inch her way off of it so that she could get into slightly deeper water.
The tide pool was about 5 feet deep, just enough water to support the whales and prevent them from being crushed by their own weight. But the very low tide appeared to be at its lowest. Edwards and Putz both work for the U.S. Forest Service, where Edwards is a biologist and district ranger. He radioed the Sitka Forest Service dispatcher to report the situation to NOAA. That was really all they could do, or even bear.
We know in our hearts that they have gone through the worst that they're going to, and they're really active, so that's a good sign. And if we sit here and watch, we're going to give ourselves ulcers.
and if they need anything, there's very little we can do. I mean, yeah. Maybe we have a bucket here or there off the boat or whatever, you know, and some blankets, but this is going to be ugly if we had to do something.
They're still pretty big animals.
Really big.
Amazing for how close they were come, and I've got great shots of nostrils. Super. They're within 3 or 4 feet of the rocks that we were standing on.
You know, you're looking at a 40 to 50 foot whale, and if it's stranded and in distress, you can easily become injured just by it trying to, you know, reposition itself or move.
Mandy Keough says the best thing anyone can do during a marine mammal stranding is to take pictures and report the event to NOAA. If a pathologist can get to the animal soon after it dies and collect and preserve tissue samples, researchers might be able to unravel why the animal went ashore, whether due to disease or malnutrition or other cause. Last year in Alaska, 40 gray whales beached and died, and this year we're already ahead of that alarming pace. Biologists refer to it as an unusual mortality event. A couple of hours later, our trio returned to see how the mom and calf were faring, and perhaps to offer some interspecies support.
The larger animal was ceaseless, just circling and having a go at the sandbar and coming back.
We saw her surfing in the waves a few times as she was going along. You'd see her kind of going sideways, and suddenly you'd see a whale, you know,
emerge.
in the wave, kind of, you could see her shadow through that whole wave sideways. It was quite beautiful and sad.
You'd love to be able to just tell them, just be patient, the tide's coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jan Straley said that we were probably 12 to 15 feet away. We were up on the rocks. And Jan Straley felt very strongly that absolutely they could hear us.
Jan Straley is a whale biologist in Sitka and a member of the Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network, which kicked into action after Edwards' radio call. Plans were already underway to perform a necropsy on these whales, But nature did not cooperate. The stranding network would have to settle for an interview after the fact.
The cow made yet another run that we thought wasn't going to make get anywhere, and she went through. And as soon as she did, that second whale just instantly shot right out behind her, and we watched them go off into deeper water, and we cheered them on. And it was also at the same time the Coast Guard was flying over, because unbeknownst to us, there was a bunch of things that were put in play with NOAA and the Coast Guard and Jan Straley here in town trying to figure out what's going on with this whole thing.
So science was thwarted and the whales got away. But Edwards, Putz, and Mason got the story of a lifetime and some fantastic pictures, right? As it happens, gray whales in the surf aren't all that photogenic.
Unfortunately, most all of our photos and videos are more like the Loch Ness Monster, where you can tell there's something there.
Sasquatch. We saw Sasquatch. Right.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.